Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Aye, sir.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the Event Horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I'm your host, Gene Turnbow.
And I am your other host, Susan Fox.
And with us is Bryant Dillon of Fanbase Press. Welcome to the show.
I'm so glad to be here with Gene and Susan, who I've known for quite some time. Great to be on the show.
Yeah, it has been a long time. We have known you since before Fanbase Press was actually even called that.
Yes, the Fanboy Comics days.
Yeah.
You acquired fangirls in your life. That's what
you did. You did an important name change, and when you changed your name, you sort of took off.
Thank you.
You know?
That's interesting, isn't it? I wonder why that is.
Well, and we did the same thing. We were called Krypton Radio for a long time,
yes.
And then we realized that nobody could find us, because who searches for that?
We all learn and evolve in advance, don't we?
Yeah, well, and now when you search for sci-fi radio or science fiction radio station, we're the only hit. Because who else is crazy enough to do this?
Well, you need some trusted co-pilots to lead the pack, you know.
Yeah,
and you two fit the bill.
First of all, you are here today to talk about your first ever Kickstarter, and it surprises the heck out of me that this is your first one. You've been at this for what, 15 years?
Almost 15 years, yeah. Yet next year will be our 15th anniversary. So we're sort of using this as a way to roll into that 15th year. And we haven't yet tackled a Kickstarter or crowdfunding, simply because I think for a while we just we were publishing the typical way, and what has really encouraged us to go into the Kickstarter, into the crowdfunding area, is not just the benefits that can happen from being able to connect with your audience that way, or be able to, you know, reach an expanded audience through the channels that Kickstarter has set up, but specifically for comics. I don't know if this is with other media on Kickstarter, but for comics, there is a unique and vibrant and growing community of both comic creators and comic readers that are specific to Kickstarter. So a lot of our peers in the publishing area were saying, you know, you want to get into Kickstarter just for the fact that there is an audience that is only reading comics and only engaging with comics purely through that platform. And so there's a lot of exciting things going on and a new audience to access, you know, through the platform. And that sort of led us down that path.
And it totally was not that way 15 years ago. I mean, was Kickstarter even around 15 years ago? Do you remember?
I don't think
no,
so. I mean,
no.
Kickstarter and crowdfunding was not something when we first got into publishing, and it started to emerge and seemed to be something for individuals. You know, an individual could go out there and say, you know, I'm going to essentially self-publish through Kickstarter. But what we've seen more and more over the past 5-10 years, I would say, is publishers and other groups getting involved and realizing that Kickstarter had not only become something that people could use to self-fund creative projects like films and comics, but also it's almost an evolution, I would say, of the pre-order system that has at times held comics back, and the idea mm-hmm. that you need to pre-order months in advance and wait the time for an illustrator and a writer and a colorist, inker, all those people to go through their various job duties. This now is something where not only can you very easily understand the pre-order system and participate in it, but also there's a social media aspect. You know, we live in a world now where people don't want to just buy the comic and get it signed. They also want to see the development of the creative process. They want to get messages from the inner circle, if you will, and mm-hmm. know like what's happening day to day. And Kickstarter has set that up.
It's a whole thing that I was looking at Kickstarter, and I've done a Kickstarter, a successful one. I did mm-hmm. An animated web series called Mighty Aphrodite about 5 years ago, and that went very well, but it only went well because we had a dedicated cadre of fans already set up. But the whole dynamic has changed, hasn't it? Now you have to kind of live in Kickstarter now. You know, well, it has to be your home.
Or pick a crowdfunding service. Patreon is another one.
Yeah, Patreon's another one.
You get some very big names on who just live on Patreon these days. And okay, it works.
Uh-huh. But you have to kind of live there. You can't, you know, it can't be a secondary adjunct thing to whatever you're doing. You have to make it your home base.
You do. And the community... You know, it's interesting. One thing that we found is the community knows that if you're there and if you are supporting other projects. So there is an idea of, like, if you want to do something, like, get into this comic book community that we're looking at for Kickstarter, that they want to know that you're part of the community, that you go there to support the community, and that you're not just essentially dropping into, you know, cash out on a bunch of money and then not back. They do want you to interact and support, and so there is sort of an artistic or a social bend to mm-hmm. it as well.
So tell us about the project in question. What's the Kickstarter
well,
for?
Our project is for a title called Ripple Effects, which is actually already released. It released last year, and we're going to be doing a hardcover deluxe edition of this story. This story was a superhero story that we released that was very close to our hearts. It explores superheroes and invisible illnesses. So our lead character, George Gibson, is invulnerable to physical harm. He's invincible to any kind of damage, you know, to his exterior body. But he's also a type 1 diabetic.
Oof.
And so his body is both his greatest strength and also his ultimate weakness. And
if you're invulnerable, how do you inject something?
Would that, you know, funny enough that you bring it up, one of the more interesting and tense scenes in the book is the fact that if he is aware of what he's doing, if he's self-injecting the insulin, his self-defense, his invulnerability is not set off. But if he is, say, knocked out, passes out from, you know, his lack of you know, not having that insulin, then there's a difficulty because we have a scene where characters are attempting to give him his insulin shot, but because his body is reacting to this outside, you know, his ripple effect, his invulnerability is preventing that. And so it provides, you know, sort of a challenge in that particular point in the scene. But this story really connected with readers really well. It won a number of awards and was nominated for a number of awards last year, including the Eisner and the Harvey, which are huge awards in the comic book field. And so we really just wanted to increase access and representation that is present in the book, and have luckily been able to acquire a number of really prominent names in the comic book field, including people like Gail Simone, Liana Kangas, Jenny Height, and others, to make essentially the definitive edition of Ripple.
That is incredible. You have come so far
It's been a long path.
Yeah, it has. And every step of the way, Barbara has been there. Oh, and yes. Without Barbara, I mean, I wish I had 10 of her. we would have no problems. she is clearly identifiable as being one of Fanbase Company's greatest assets.
She is a powerhouse.
She really is. Absolutely.
She's for anyone that doesn't know, she operates as our editor in chief at Fanbase Press. She's our co-founder, and then I'm very lucky to also call her my wife and partner. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about Barbara. She's just leads the charge for us when it comes to everything Fanbase Press, and then with this Kickstarter, she has had her hand in every step of the way. And I don't know. I just couldn't do this stuff without her. I am the Robin to her Batman, I guess you could say. You know, she's the one that's got all the plans down. And,
yeah.
And I'm like, I can help. I can help as well.
She is intense. She is one of the most organized people I have, effortlessly organized people I have ever met.
Oh, yes.
Just amazing. So you have... You just mentioned a little bit ago that you have been nominated. This one book has been nominated for a bunch of awards, and
yes.
You know it's been. And this has been true of a lot of the things that you've done. I mean, just over the last, I think, 5 or 6 years, I remember seeing your name keep cropping up in
it's
the Eisner Awards.
Eisner, Harvey, Glad. Okay.
We've been very, very lucky the last couple of years. We had an Eisner nomination for best digital comic. We had an Eisner nomination for best comic periodical or press nomination for that, and then of course best digital comic for Ripple Effects, again a nomination for that, and then as you mentioned the GLAAD Media Award, which was our latest. Publishing project, Four Colored Heroes, which is a fantastic love story about two boys who connect over comic books. But yeah, we're very honored to receive those awards and those nominations. And you know, I guess the awards and the nominations don't necessarily they're not the reason for doing it. They don't necessarily change your life or anything. Stories that you put out there, and we're nothing but grateful. We're just excited that those visibility to stories that we think were really important and worthwhile.
It's the recognition of your peers, the understanding that everybody else sees what you are doing, they understand it, and they applaud your efforts. And that makes an enormous amount of difference. Nothing is worse than spending your life energy or your life's blood on something, never knowing if anybody else thinks it's good or not.
Well, they do buy the comics.
Well, they do buy the comics.
Money talks, baby.
Yeah.
That does help. But I think
in their case,
the two of you at the same time, I think that there's a pure passion as well, you mm-hmm. know, and honestly, even if, you know, no one was buying the comics and we had no awards, and I feel like Barbara and I would still be doing this because we believe in the mission itself. We believe in the work itself. And I guess that's the one thing that I want to make sure people hear when they do hear about the awards and honors like that. It took us a long time to get to a place when that started happening. And honestly, you don't want to change anything, I think, once it does start happening, because, you know, you have to love the work. You have to... Mm-hmm. feel important even when no one is noticing, because very often even when you feel like no one's noticing, people are, you know, it takes a lot for people to say, hey, good job. It's very easy for people to go online and say, that was horrible, I can't believe you did that, but you know, I feel like a lot of people will say, listen to a podcast or read something, and they'll think that's great, and then they'll go on with their day, and the people that create it don't always know, even though people are thinking that about the stuff they produce.
Cecil B. DeMille was fond of saying that a critic is someone who charges down the hill after the battle to stab the dying.
Yeah, I like that quote. I've never heard that one. That's a great one.
being a critic is very, very easy, and it's very easy to slam other people's work. But you're right. You know, if you're doing something really well, it's uncommon for somebody else to say something. And that's why these awards are so important, to remind everyone that they are doing good work and that good work is being done, and that, you know, if they can do good work, you can do good work. Nobody expects to have to, you know, constantly prop people up. But at the same time, it's the community recognition that the work in general, the genre in general, is of some value. And I think that's an important part of what these awards are for.
I definitely agree with that. I will say that even before we were even considering the idea that we would ever be nominated, some of the creative energy that you just get from being in the room in the Eisners at Comic-Con is just that community aspect once again. I guess I was talking about it with Kickstarter. It you know, it's in the comic book community as well, in that room in the Eisners, where you see people get that recognition, you see people speak to being touched by the fact that their peers have recognized them, or that their story has touched so many. I think there's something, again, something for people who love the medium or are creative themselves, that they can take away from just the idea of a night like that kind of can provide, like, oh, here's why we are all doing this. This is the shared reason that we slave away at our drawing tables or our computers or wherever you may be working. Now, there's something bigger than all of us that we contribute to.
Yeah, it makes you fizz, you know, if for lack of a better word. Being around other people who do what you do helps you just be excited about what you're doing, and you resonate with other people who are doing the same kind of work. So it's
What is it? So what are you doing now? What is next?
Well, everything is focused right now on the Kickstarter. We've got our pre-launch page up. So if people want to go to the pre-launch page, you can input your email and you'll be contacted as soon as the project goes live. And then over the next couple months, we'll be at ALA, we'll be at Comic-Con, and we'll be promoting the Kickstarter, as well as, of course, you know, our other titles. And then later this year, we'll actually launch the Kickstarter and begin to dive in a little bit more into revealing the details of the various contributors and some of the awesome tiers that we've created. We have a lot of stuff that's focused specifically on either libraries or educators. I mean, there's plenty here for fans, but there's also one cool thing we're going to be doing is opportunities where you can donate a book to any library that you want to. That could be a school library, a public library. You know, you might just donate, you might buy a copy for yourself and send a donation, or ultimately, some of our stretch goals are even going to just be increased donations going out to various libraries and schools. So,
ooh, hospital, you know, libraries for this one, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is just an amazing story, I think, all around for anyone that either has a love for superheroes or wants to see a different take on the superhero genre, especially a sort of a modern take. But I also think, like, especially with what's going on in our country, libraries need our support. The educators need our support. You know, they're under attack. Yeah. There's a lot of restrictions out there. And anything we can do to put libraries not only in a positive light, but let them know that there's people out there that care and want to support them, I think that's needed, you know, in the current times.
I think so, too. I agree with you. I think these are wonderful goals. And I think that this thing, the way you've set it up and who you are, you just being who you are and how you've got all of this organized and with Barbara behind it pulling the levers, this thing is just going to go ballistic. When you release it's going to go like a rocket. It's going to go like a rocket.
So you know, next we'll see... ripple effect, the motion picture, ripple effect, the series, the lunchbox.
Ripple effect, the mud flap.
Video game. Yeah. Do it all. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the Event Horizon, Bryant. I'm so glad that you're doing so well, and you and your instant family. You know, how old are the kids now? Four?
They're like three and a half.
Three and a half.
You've got two twin girls for anyone listening, and yeah, they are a handful, but they're also such a joy, and they're starting to figure out their own fandom now. You know, they're big in the big thing right now is from Star Wars, they're all about gonk droids. If you know gonk droids, they love gonk droids. They walk around going gonk.
Oh, that's awesome!
The age of fixation.
Yes, exactly.
That's great. That's great. Anyway, Bryant, cool. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Event Horizon. We wish you the best of luck with the Kickstarter, and let us know when it does fire off, and we'll have you back.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Gene and Susan. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
And drive carefully.
Have a great drive.
All right. Just let me know anything that we can do on our end too to help promote anything you guys are putting out, and of course when the Kickstarter goes live, I'll be sure to reach back out.
Okay,
to you.
Awesome. We'll see you at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm going.
Looking forward to it.
See you there. You have been listening to episode 274 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for July 6th, 2024. Our guest this evening has been Bryant Dillon of the indie comic book publishing company Fanbase Press. We have been discussing their first Kickstarter for the hardcover release of the graphic novel Ripple Effects by Jordan Hart and Bruno Cirillu. The show will air again tomorrow, July 7th, 2024, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the upcoming Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. The show will air again tomorrow, July 7th, 2024, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the upcoming Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all of the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay FM, Pandora, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi-radio and become a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and a lot more. And they help us procure and maintain the equipment and other resources we need to stay on the air. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are thankful for the generous support of listeners just like you. That URL is, again, patreon.com/sci-fi-radio. This episode is copyright 2024 by Krypton Media Group. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.